The following podcast is scheduled for one fall on the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It is January 18th, and I've got some good news and I've got some bad news on Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight.
I don't know why that tickled me so much.
It's because we know what it leads to.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So happy that you could join us again. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. I'm your host tonight for this wrestling mat slamming extravaganza.
You told me we were talking about the Switch again.
I know. We did almost 3 hours on the Switch this week.
But I haven't got to do a show with a good mic about the Switch yet. So we're going to talk about this, right?
No.
Those voices you hear with me tonight, as always, Ace of Gray at the end of the table. He's the five-star man.
Sure is.
The first entrant into the Rumble.
Which I'm very upset at the fact that WWE has yet to make a formal announcement. They haven't put me in the graphic. They haven't mentioned me on Raw, SmackDown, anything. And I don't, like...
I've even started a hashtag on Twitter for you, hashtag Ace called dibs.
We already had the five-star Rumble.
Yeah, it's
Thank
the
you, JR,
Rumble.
By the way, for getting on board with that. To be fair, they have also not announced me for the Hall of Fame yet.
That's fair.
And I'm assuming, I thought I was headlining, but apparently they got another guy. We're going to talk about that tonight. Also with us tonight, Ali Abair.
Hello.
The young cat of the Pro Wrestling Unscripted cast.
Okay.
I don't get that reference either.
Jerry Waller on the brain?
And the big D, Dalton Anthony over here.
Yo.
Yo. What's up?
When you said the young cat, my brain went to Ernest Miller.
Not just the cat, the young cat.
About to say, my joke, just, or my head went straight to the cat.
And you know what? Allie can be happy. She is 1 year older than UK tournament champion Tyler Bates.
We're going to talk about it now?
No.
Oh.
Right now we're going to talk about it. All right. So fans, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?
Don't answer because we can't hear you.
Yeah. Here's the good news. Jimmy Snuka is dead. Here's the bad news. They actually made a big deal out of it. No, that's unfair. Okay, so Jimmy Snuka died. Was it last week?
Yeah.
And I think, did we mention it on the last week's show?
No, because it happened after.
It did happen after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only a few days old.
So Jimmy Snuka passed away. Zach Price actually sent me a message and was the one that told me. I didn't see the group message yet because I wasn't paying attention. And I said, okay, cool. And he said, does that not upset you? And, you know, it's weird because, yes, in a way, because I was a Jimmy Snuka fan growing up because I grew up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But no, because you cannot ignore the very serious allegations that were laid against him in the death of his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
And you cannot ignore that. You cannot ignore that. But the WWE has.
I was gonna say, but apparently you can.
In
you can
Mickey
do
Man
it real
land.
Easily.
So Snuka on Monday got the opening graphic. He got a video package. We're not going to talk about this too much, I promise, because it is upsetting to a lot of us here. And if for how many different reasons? There's so many. Asa, I know you really have a problem with this.
Yeah, it really just feels like WWE is completely ignoring the fact of, there was a very serious allegation leveled against him. I think Dalton was talking about people seeing, but those charges were dropped. Those charges were dropped. Mm-hmm. They weren't dropped because there was a lack of evidence or the prosecuting attorney dropped the charges. They were dropped because he was just going to die before he could really go to trial, and which is what happened. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Because, the reason that got brought up was because I was on Facebook the day that it happened, and I was like, well, people are horrible. Let me see what the comments are.
Oh, God. And that's a mistake.
Yeah, but the thing of it is what I was expecting was, like, what we're kind of talking about. I'd be like, well, I mean, the murder charges kind of taint everything. That wasn't what I was seeing. It was all like loving memory, to each his own. Like,
well, it's not even that. It's just like we're not celebrating his death.
No.
Like, we're really
no.
not. I know Shannon made the joke.
But it was a joke. Everything can be turned into a joke. That is my philosophy. And sometimes they're tasteless. I agree. But we're not celebrating the fact that
it's just the fact that, cause he did have a family who were completely innocent.
Tamina.
Of this.
You know,
Tamina
Snuka. Super bad for Tamina.
Deuce,
yeah.
His son. Like, he had family members. You know, The Rock was family. He's connected to the Inouye family. I know I say that wrong every time. But like, there are people who are missing him and who are grieving him, and our sympathies go to them.
They would definitely, yeah.
Our sympathies also go to the family of
Nancy.
Yeah. Whose, you know, family won't get answers
or
now,
justice.
More than likely, yeah.
No justice for them. And I thought that when they said that they dropped the charges because of his health, my first reaction was, okay, sure, really? Like, how long is the dude going to live now that he's gotten away with this? I didn't expect him to die. I really didn't. I didn't know he was going to die so soon. I thought that was just a ploy they made to get, you know, the, okay, well, let's not waste taxpayer money, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Didn't realize he was going to die so quick. A lot of wrestlers tweeted out RIP, mm-hmm. which again is fine. A lot of people were influenced by him. Mick Foley, of course, the story about Jimmy Snuka jumping off the cage at Madison Square Garden. That's what got him into wrestling. Yeah, obviously. But you cannot ignore what he may have done, which we will now never know.
Yeah.
All signs point to that he probably did. He mm-hmm. himself of went against his own, what am I trying to say? He,
contradicted himself.
Contradicted himself. Could not think of that word. Contradicted himself in his own book mm-hmm. about what happened the day she died. So there were very real questions that needed to be answered that we will never get answers to now. And Dalton, you said that you were on the forums and you were just disgusted by what you saw. The worst thing that I saw, and I told you guys this a couple days ago personally, there was somebody that said, I don't care what he did in his personal life, just like Chris Benoit. I don't care that Benoit killed his family. I respect him as a wrestler. And sure, you respect the guy as a good wrestler, but if you can ignore the fact that somebody murdered someone else, especially Chris Benoit, his own family, you are garbage. You're garbage. You can't separate the two. You just can't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you remember the day that we watched? It was like an old WC. And the same thing happens with snooker matches. Like, I can't. I said in the group chat, I was like, I love Jimmy Snuka as a kid because, like, I found it through my dad's old wrestling tapes. And I watched him. I was like, oh, man, he was awesome. And then, like, once I got older, I found out about that. I couldn't watch him, like, his matches anymore. Same thing with Chris Benoit. We were watching a WCW pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then we were playing the old fun game, how many of these people are dead? And then it got to a Chris
That's a great party game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were sad, making Ethan sad. And then Benoit showed up and I was like, yeah, we can't play the game right now. And I skipped through the match. I can't watch a snooker match. I can't watch a Benoit match. And it's not disrespectful towards their work. It's just, I know the,
you know,
it's
what
just,
did.
You just can't move. You just
yeah,
can't
I can't, it. I can't differentiate that.
I can almost give, and then you guys are going to disagree with me on this and hear me out. I can almost give more sympathy to Chris Benoit than to Jimmy Snuka. And
I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Chris Benoit, what happened to him is a result of concussions. It's a result of his brain basically being Swiss cheese after years of wrestling the way he did.
A 70-year-old advanced dementia patient.
He was basically mentally ill. So yeah. I can yeah. almost give more sympathy to him
like it's
than
not
to Jimmy
excuse.
Snuka. No,
you're
it's
not excusing it, but
it's you get more of an understanding.
You realize that, you know, he also was a victim to the circumstances.
Of like, his lifestyle.
Yeah. And again, like, we're not trying to give him a pass.
No,
or anything.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Jimmy Snuka, though, his girlfriend had all the signs of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have a guy that probably abused his girlfriend and then killed her, which sounds like it was on accident, but still did it and then got away with it and lied. And then you have Chris Benoit, who was basically a mentally ill person who killed his family in a terrible way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one gets excuses here.
One of the things that I saw was something along the lines of the difference between Snuka and Benoit is if Snuka was healthy, they would have been able to file charges against him.
Yeah.
Whereas Benoit would have
probably gotten away with it.
He wouldn't have gotten away with it, but they would have deemed him incompetent.
And psychiatric
they would have
help.
Put him into a ward.
Yeah.
Right. Which he should have been in.
Yeah.
You know, Benoit was a sick man. Snuka just seemed like garbage.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
But again, we feel for the families.
Yeah.
And, you know, we express our sympathies.
Hulk Hogan is still blacklisted for the mm-hmm. most part for what he said 8 years ago, but they were celebrating a person that was being investigated for murder. If the irony of the WWE's hypocrisy is not lost on you at this point, after listening to the show for almost 2 years, then we can't do anything for you.
Yeah.
So let's move on from that. Let's go to some good news. I got a couple of good news pieces real quick. First off, congratulations to our good friend Austin Lane, who the best of the best. Dalton, how's that go?
Whoa, no. He does not get to do
it
anymore.
He doesn't get to do it anymore?
I am the voice of...
Hold on. Let's give Ali a chance.
No,
Lane
gave it to me.
Yeah. He did.
He personally gave it to
me.
Yeah,
he said only Ace.
Ace is the only one who's allowed to do his catchphrase
anymore.
Here's
a 5-star intro.
It's from rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best, Austin Lane.
He signed his contract extension with Cape Championship Wrestling. We couldn't be happier that he's going to stick around.
So excited.
We became such huge fans of Austin Lane after that match with Ricochet. And even better than that, his feud with Brandon Barbwire.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, the Ricochet match was amazing. And in a bubble, it was a one-time amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the work that they put in together, Brandon and Austin, they made each other. That's one of the better rivalries I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And I hope they reunited at some point.
Yep.
Although I really love Hollis.
Maybe not for the championship, but.
Well, that's hoping someone else might have the title. I don't know. Brandon stopped into the store, recently. And you can imagine he's as pleasant away from the ring as he is in the ring. So
we were in a car with him for 2 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah. I can't say that I'm going to be too sad to see him lose to Hollis, but at the same time, you know, whatever. We'll see how it goes.
Wasn't he saying negative things about me?
A couple.
But
he doesn't like
you. But who doesn't?
That's true, though. You got to give him credit. Yeah, you gotta give Ace a props
for that.
He's got you
smart.
There, dog.
He's definitely smart.
He's got you there, dog. Now, Dalton, when is Brandon and Hollis gonna fight, by the way?
The 28th of January.
At the AC Braze Arena. At the here in Cape Championship Wrestling's own backyard, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Thank God.
Yep.
We're super excited. That's next week.
It is.
And you better believe we're going to be doing a show before that. So that's going to be a fun time. We might have some special guests for this one, too. Pretty excited about it.
Fingers
don't want to say
crossed.
Anything. Don't, mm-hmm. Yeah, keep your fingers crossed. So that's the first piece of good news. Second piece of good news. Unfortunately, I did not make the Hall of Fame of main event this year. I'm still hoping to get in, though. It's me, and I think James Ellsworth is already up for it. So really excited about that.
Might as well be.
But here's your first confirmed Hall of Fame, and it's a super surprise. Dalton, who do we got?
We have Kurt Angle.
Who won, is the only gold medal winner in WWE history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He won that with a broken freaking neck, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that. All right, now everybody say it with me. Broken freaking neck.
But which then led to a, never mind. This is happy news. This is happy news.
I couldn't be happier that Kurt Angle is going to the Hall of Fame and that he's back in WWE, yep. Even if it's something like this. Allie,
at some capacity.
You missed the Kurt Angle era.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate. I'm so sad that you joined in on wrestling now when we all hate it so much.
I will say she gets to watch way better match quality compared to what we get.
Like, except for Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
All right. So if you thought Shane jumping off the Hell in the Cell was crazy, watch any of his Kurt Angle matches.
I still say that the moment he tried to belly to belly suplex Shane McMahon into the King of the Ring glass, and he had to do it twice because the first time he threw him, he just hit. It was like a
and
cartoon.
Dropped.
And splat and yeah. Rolled down. It's sick. It's,
to describe, because you know how good of a wrestler Chad Gable is right now?
American Alpha?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In 8 years, and he's just, assuming he just does a steady increase and doesn't get hurt, that'll probably be Kurt Angle Jr.
Yeah, American Alpha is basically Kurt Angle if they took his genes and cloned him.
They're
and
basically
had a younger
the world's greatest tag team.
Part two.
Yeah. And Gable didn't have to do the hair versus hair match yet.
I will say, I always hated that Kurt Angle lost his hair because I thought he was a handsome guy. He is a handsome guy. Like, mm-hmm. No jokes about it. Dude is a looker. But he is so threatening with
that
bald
like,
head.
One of my favorite Kurt Angle runs was his ECW run.
Yeah.
Where he was just the wrestling machine. They revamped his music.
Yep.
Because one of the most notorious things about Kurt Angle is the You Suck chant.
Yeah, I remember seeing
I showed her a clip of that.
The video of his entrance music, which made my heart so happy on Raw. They didn't show, he wasn't there in person, but they played his music over the Hall of Fame thing, and the live crowd was chanting You Suck.
It's just classical
so it was like,
conditioning.
And
what's good
it.
About that is that at this point, you know it's not disrespect. It's actually a sign
of
affection.
I'm pretty sure they chanted it at him when he was a face too.
Yeah.
It's just like,
they
it's just, you know, it's
that's
the,
how the song.
And that's why they revamped his music for ECW.
Because, and it took away that, but it was, it worked because he was the wrestling machine, like.
And he's so good.
He was intimidating and
the
scary.
The saddest part about Kurt Angle is that when he left WWE, the reason he left was because he was in a dark place mm-hmm. in his life. Drug abuse, painkillers, that kind of stuff.
Which all stemmed from him winning a gold medal with a broken neck.
And then wrestling his ass off for however many years for World Wrestling Entertainment. And when WWE wanted him to go get clean, he didn't. So he went to TNA instead.
Where they didn't care.
To be fair, he turned his own life around. And,
yeah, he did.
And was very successful in TNA. Like, a lot of the times these wrestlers will go to different promotions, and they never quite live up to what they were in the last one. Goldberg, when he was in WCW versus WWF.
Yeah.
But Kurt Angle did well. Like, he was fantastic in TNA. And I'm so happy, though, that he's come back to WWE, which is his home. I still remember the first time I saw him wrestle, or the time he wrestled against a debuting Taz.
Yeah.
Was an incredible moment.
Yeah.
And it was
moment.
His first loss.
Yep. To Taz.
I mean, that sink in. In fairness, that is completely okay in the time that it was.
Yes. Yeah, because this was ECW Taz, like, at his height.
Yeah.
Who's also a suplexing machine.
Yeah. Height.
Oh!
That was mean. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I actually started listening to his podcast or his radio show.
He's good.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, Taz is mm-hmm. great in just about everything he does. I could see him being a Hall of Famer down the line. I really can.
He should, yeah.
He should be.
Absolutely deserves it.
And Kurt Angle, like you said, he turned his life around. He's got this, the Angle Strong app coming out. We talked about a few weeks ago to help people going through addiction. It's real exciting to see where he is now, both as a professional and, you know, just a person.
A human being.
Yeah.
I was looking through his Instagram today. I don't have him on there for some reason, but, Hulk Hogan posted a picture of him and Angle together and said, you know, hey, congratulations, you deserve it. And he said, thanks, Hulk. Mm-hmm. And I, for whatever reason, clicked on it to see. And, just what a family man. All the pictures of him with his kids and his wife. It's nice to see a good story in wrestling.
Especially, especially when you consider, like, look at what we've talked about so far.
Yes.
In the show, just like the happy ending, seemingly, that he gets.
Because not everybody gets that. Not everybody gets to go out like that. I know a lot of people criticize the movie The Wrestler for the way it portrayed, you know, older wrestlers and how their life has fallen apart.
It's
but
accurate.
So many of them have fallen into that,
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of wrestlers agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
just not certain ones.
And kind of going back to what you said about him coming home, like, it's hard to believe, like, he was in TNA for longer than he was in WWE.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, like, at CM Punk's height, he had been in WWE longer than he wrestled on the indies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the Dudley Boys.
Yeah.
In TNA, but longer than WWE.
You always associate some wrestlers.
Because
right.
that run, that Kurt Angle run, was so memorable and so great. First person to make Kane tap out. I think he was the first person to make The Undertaker tap out.
And he was good at comedy.
He was so versatile.
I hated him as a comedy character though because he was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer the serious Kurt Angle.
But he did it so well though.
John Cena's debut was against Kurt Angle.
Yep.
Kurt Angle called him out. I think I've shown you that clip and, maybe I didn't. We'll show it to you later. But yeah, Cena came out and wrestled Kurt Angle in his first match. Angle was just amazing at everything he did. Totally deserves a Hall of Fame spot.
Yeah.
Completely. So congratulations. And, there's a big question about who is going to induct him.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jim Ross, some people said, well, would you induct him? He said, absolutely, I would if they wanted me to, but I don't think that I'm the person to do it.
Right.
And Angle himself said,
It's a no-brainer for him in that it's got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And I can see that because one of the things I remember most was, and not for the best reasons, but him.
Oh, if you were about to cast aspersions on the cowboy hats.
Yes.
You are wrong because that is comedy gold.
So they had little cowboy hats and he was playing a guitar.
So Stone Cold was the commissioner of Raw at the time. He had an actual cowboy hat and an actual guitar. Kurt Angle at this point was like the suck up. Like he so desperately wanted Austin to like him. So he, did he bring it or did Austin give it to him?
I thought he brought it.
I think he brought it himself.
Yeah.
And he had this tiny little, like, child's cowboy hat and this tiny little child's guitar that he was trying to play with Austin.
And, like, he's great as a comedy character. But you can look at Kurt Angle during that time period and then look at him in, like, his TNA
run or ECW. And you're just like, how is this the same person?
Two different characters. I don't know if I've ever seen a wrestler so versatile. Because even when The Rock was being funny, he was still The Rock.
Right.
But Kurt Angle just... whatever he did, it was like completely different.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
His entire feud with Brock Lesnar on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That made that better than anything they were doing on Raw.
That WrestleMania match was.
Oh, it was insane. Minus that concussion. It was a fantastic match.
That's the match where Brock Lesnar, who legitimately had done, you know, a shooting star press where they're standing on the top rope and they flip up. Well, Brock Lesnar could do it. He could do it and he decided to bust it out in this match and it was a huge moment. Dalton, you're foaming at the mouth here.
He was 23. This was a different Lesnar. Not nearly as steroidy. Not fair. Still steroidy. Not nearly as steroid. Like, it wasn't horse steroids at this point.
Okay.
He was still hitting the deer steroids so he could be agile.
Yeah.
But he does the shooting star press, completely misses, lands face first on the mat. When he moves his head up, blood's coming out of his nose. Like, it was bad. And him and Angle covered at the end, and fixed it to make it look good.
But before that, fantastic match. And they had like a whole run where like, for 6 months, that's all they had. Like the 60-minute Iron Man match on a 2-hour SmackDown is still one of my favorite matches of all time.
And you know, I don't want to bring it back to him and not to bring his name up in a positive way, but his matches against Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Some of the best mat wrestling you will ever see was Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle. And Eddie Guerrero.
That Eddie feud was nuts.
What we're trying to say is that Kurt Angle was just awesome.
He really was.
The only thing I can remember that was ever a shot against him other than him leaving WWE for bad reasons was the Daniel Puter incident.
Ooh,
And just tell you real quick. So basically they had Tough Enough. Was it still called Tough Enough at the time?
Yep.
They had a guy on there named Daniel Puter who was a legit MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle is a legit wrestler. Like we said, gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the ring and he's having them come in to basically wrestle, real wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much the Tough Enough competitors knew it was going to be real, but Angle really took him down and was tapping
him
out.
And hurt him.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Puter gets in the ring and Puter is a legit fighter. So Angle and him start to wrestle. He gets Angle in an arm bar?
It was a Kimura lock.
It was a Kimura?
He went for a takedown and got him to the ground and, Puter. He wasn't expecting Puter to know anything. Puter grabs the arm, pops it into Kimura. And at that moment, the refs had to cover and count a three whenever his shoulders, like Puter's shoulders were on up.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they were like, well, if he doesn't let go,
he's gonna break his arm. Yeah.
And this is like, I think he was still either the Undisputed Champion or the WWE Champion is what it was called. Or was like number one contender.
And the point of it was for Angle to embarrass the new guys.
Yeah.
And it went bad. And The worst part about it, and this is the worst part, is that they told them to go out there and wrestle Kurt Angle. He legitimately got Kurt Angle. And what was his reward for it? He was buried for the rest of his WWE career.
Yep.
And they
all got, what, 6 hours of it?
Well, you remember the Rumble match?
No, yeah.
Where they literally beat the crap out of
they
him.
They really, yeah.
That was bad. Be a star, WWE. Yep. Be a star. But don't let that take away from Kurt Angle.
No, yeah, it's great. It's really exciting. He, the only thing that I think is kind of funny is the interview he did with, it was either ESPN or Sports Illustrated. I don't remember which one off the top of my head. But he's like, yeah, you know, this is, you know, I told WWE, like, I was like, oh, maybe they forgot about me. Well, Triple H is the one that made the call. Oh, no, we don't forget about you. You know, this is what we want you to do. So there's no plans for a match yet. I would love it. I mean, but it's not important now. The Hall of Fame is what's important now. And then he proceeds to bring up, like, well, there's no match yet, but it's not important now. So you can tell, like,
he's foaming for a match.
Oh, he wants a match so bad. Yeah. And honestly, like, if he can pass the physical, then absolutely give it to him. Give him another run.
Yeah, because he's not,
put him in the Rumble.
He's not too old. No. He's in fantastic shape. He's, mm-hmm. and he never had a high flying style. So it's not like he can't jump off the top rope
but
anymore.
He's been hurt pretty seriously in wrestling as well as, you know, a broken neck shortens a career.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how well they fix it. And he's had other neck issues stemming from that. So it's,
I just can't see if they put Sting in the ring, you know, at close to 60, mm-hmm. why not put Kurt Angle in
their
formal
match? But
Sting
was never hurt. Like, well, I mean,
until he went into the WWE ring.
Yeah. Like he wasn't hurt as prolifically as Angle was.
Rollins should pray on that. Oh, I wasn't allowed to make the joke? Okay, cool. So
moving on.
Yep.
We do have some, speaking of injuries, mm-hmm. we were just talking about Kurt Angle and Sting and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Tajiri, injured. Yeah. Well, that sucks. There's a guy that wrestled during the era of Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, if you want to know how long Tajiri has been in the ring, Tajiri, he may have actually wrestled Angle once or twice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Was it at a house show?
I think it was a taping. I think it said it was an NXT taping.
And Tajiri hurt his right knee.
Yep. I don't think the WWE.com article was very, very basic with its information. So I'm going to try to pull it up again, which we should have done before the show, but I forgot. but no, it was at some sort of NXT event. It was an NXT taping. Yeah.
And they probably don't have a time frame on when he'll be back yet.
Probably not, unless the story got updated. And it's really a bummer too, because this is the worst timing, because he just came back for 205 Live. Looked like he was going to be starting a program with Kendrick, which would have been amazing.
Yeah. It was so, yeah, just the way Kendrick sold the Poison Mist was amazing.
That's two old school guys right there that I could watch wrestle over and over again.
And to answer your question, he did wrestle Kurt Angle in 2005.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Tajiri in his heyday in WWE was huge. He was one of the most successful Japanese wrestlers they've had. What was it called? The Spider?
Oh, the Tarantula.
The Tarantula. Yeah. Jesus.
That's a spider. About to say, yeah, you were there.
The Tarantula, the Poison Mist, mm-hmm. His terrible, team up with Tori Wilson.
Oh. Wait a minute. No, that wasn't.
That was Kenzo Suzuki.
Yeah, that was Kenzo Suzuki.
Who did he get teamed up with? Tajiri?
William
Regal.
And it was
just
wonderful.
As sexy.
Was there not a woman involved with Tajiri too?
No.
Not that I remember.
Cause I remember Kenzo Suzuki and Tori Wilson. That was just embarrassing.
And he was
he
like
would dress up
Patriot.
Like the American. Yeah. Like that was terrible.
So, and the WWE website has.
Well, Dalton, I'm racist now. Congratulations.
The WWE story hasn't been updated. It only says suffered a right knee injury and is not currently medically cleared to compete. Didn't say what the injury was. So maybe this was just he tweaked it in the ring. He needs to rest it for a few weeks.
A sprain that's going to last 4 to 6.
Like, are we sure this wasn't a storyline thing?
It didn't say against Kendrick, did it?
Yeah, no, it just said it, cause if usually when it's a story like that, they would say like was attacked by Kendrick in a match with Kendrick, but it's.
So we'll keep it updated as we learn more. In some good injury news, Hideo Itami tweeted, I am ready.
Although it kind of bums me out because if he tweeted that and now he's a surprise entrant in the Rumble, I'm going to be less surprised. Like I'll still be surprised, but if it just came out of nowhere, like,
I don't think they would let him into the main roster yet.
I think they almost need to.
Yeah.
Because
you gotta get some money out of him at some point.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Hideo Itami. He's a great wrestler. Mm-hmm. He influenced CM Punk. CM Punk stole most of his gimmick, or not gimmick, but a lot of his moves and stuff.
He used two of his moves.
Yeah, but not only did he use two of his moves, he called them the exact same move.
Yep.
So inspired by with the same name.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Also known as Stole.
Stop it.
But no, like, him on SmackDown. He should go to SmackDown. He needs to, yeah. Because Hideo Itami belongs on SmackDown right
put
now.
Put him at 205 Live, because right after the Cruiserweight Classic, he became the Cruiserweight Killer. And just have him go do it on the actual show.
Oh, he did do that.
Yeah, because that was right before he got hurt.
No, I'd rather see him on SmackDown.
But isn't that what Neville's doing pretty much now?
Well, it wasn't, that wasn't by name. He was just, they had nothing for him on NXT, so he was just wrestling random competitors from 205.
Like
Maluda,
Ali.
Right.
Yeah.
Hideo Itami was such a big name in Japan, as Kenta.
Yep.
I believe. And, oh man, he didn't drop the ball. None of this is like on purpose.
Yeah, it's so
this is just luck.
It was bad because he came in at the same time as Balor.
Yeah.
Who Balor was a complete and total America ready superstar.
Yeah.
Bona fide.
It wasn't he brought Balor in as his partner.
Yeah. Against the Ascension.
Yes.
Whereas,
who?
So.
The Ascension.
Who?
Alec, give me a who.
No.
Oh! No, sold you.
He's so sad.
I am. Yeah. Dalton.
But so Itami comes in and is really good. No one's saying that he's not good. It's just the American style, the American TV style he has to adapt to.
He didn't click as much.
He didn't, but then he started to, and he really got the ball rolling, and he really started to catch fire, injured.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's a bummer. Comes back, 9 months later?
Yeah, because
more than a year, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was over a year because he kept having complications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he comes back after over a year being hurt. Almost seems like he didn't skip a beat.
And yeah, because he went straight to feuding with Rude, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was Aries.
Aries, yeah.
Yeah, it was Aries.
And then Riddick Moss drops him on his head.
Thanks, again, buddy. Accidental.
Yeah.
Again, accidental.
Yeah, no, it's but it's
just bad luck.
Yeah, it's just.
Speaking of Orton, let's just jump ahead real quick.
Yeah.
Of course, we hope Itami's coming back at the Rumble. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But Randy Orton, interesting situation. Ooh. Drunk Shannon came out for a second. Of interesting situation with Randy Orton. I got sent to this sent to me by Johnny Atwood, our old friend. I think you guys had heard about it, or maybe I even broke it to you guys. But and I don't know. It probably was posted.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah, I think we all found it.
So Randy Orton was in a gym in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Jonesboro, Wisconsin.
Jonesboro, Missouri. I don't know.
It was Arkansas.
All right. He's in Jonesboro at a gym. Guy sees Randy Orton, walks up to him and says, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And this is his version of it.
Walks up to Orton, who does have his headphones on.
Yes.
He even goes out of his way to mention that Orton had headphones in.
And that he fist bumped him. Like, Orton was nice enough to fist bump the fan, and say, "Sorry, I've got my headphones on," which is code for, "I know what you're saying,
hi,
but I'm working out.
Thank you, but I'm busy."
Yeah.
Be gone.
And considering what a reputation Randy Orton has for being a sourpuss, the fact that he was so polite about it is good. Like, kudos to him. Cause he didn't have to. He could just say, "Are you serious? Dude, I'm working out. Leave me alone."
Mm-hmm.
But no, he fist bumped him. Most fans don't get a fist bump from Randy Orton. And he walks away to keep working out. Well, the fan decides, "Oh, I'm going to take a picture anyway." And snaps the photo. And if you
and
see the photo.
He says he does it from across the gym.
No. Unless he had super zoom on that thing. Cause it's like from me to Asa, pretty much.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Which is roughly 6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The look on Randy Orton's face in the picture says it all. Like, that is a disgruntled goat.
It's almost as, it's not quite as, like, we finally found a face that tops Sasha Banks' airport picture.
Oh, yeah.
Which, another douche.
Yeah.
Right there.
So, and then, well, finish the story.
So, Randy Orton
totally
sees this.
Real events.
Gets in the guy's face, throws out F words left and right, which we won't repeat here, but basically says, "Dude, what are you doing? I'm working out," you know, calls him rude and all that. And the guy said, his response to Randy Orton say, "I told you I was working out," was, "No, you told me you had headphones on." The fact that Randy Orton didn't lay this punk out, again, kudos to Randy Orton. Go ahead.
Well, keep going.
That's pretty much the end of the story, other than Randy Orton eventually said, "Enjoy your workout," and left.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Randy Orton's the bigger man, says, "Enjoy your workout," didn't have to say that, and walks out. Orton later tweeted about it. Did you read the tweets?
No.
Oh, you talk real quick while I find the tweets.
So, because... and maybe this will contradict everything I'm about to say, but this just sounds like someone who was real upset because they're a special snowflake. They wanted to get a picture with Randy Orton, but he said no as his right. He owes you nothing. These guys owe you nothing. See, everyone talks about what a dick CM Punk is. You know what? No. When he tells you, like, every time he talks about it, it's like people come up like, "Oh, give me a picture, blah, blah, blah." It's like, no, no. I bought your house. No, you don't. If they are wearing headphones, if they are eating a meal, if they are at the airport, the people who buy tickets just so they can creep at airports and get pictures of people and autographs for people who are in the middle of traveling, they've had a rough week. Leave them alone. You're scum. So this just to me sounds like I wanted to get a picture. Orton didn't give me a picture, so I'm gonna ruin his reputation. I'm gonna take this BS story that I made up because he's in a. There are other people in the gym.
Yeah, in fact,
for the fact that there is not, you know, if in a gym, if a celebrity starts going off on some random person in a crowded gym,
there's gonna be more evidence.
More than one person is gonna come forward.
Yeah. There's even on the article, another article I saw, it said witness disputes fans' claim about Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So that here's Randy Orton's tweets about it. He said, apparently I hurt a fan's feelings when I told him to F off at the gym yesterday. That's news. Been happening for 15 years. Hashtag get a life. I paid to train. In between every set, I can't take pics. He needs to suck at the F up and go to the gym to train, not to be a fanboy. And he responds to somebody, says, my sentiments exactly, not to mention he had nothing to say then, had to wait to use Twitter like a bitch.
I'm buying a Randy Orton shirt. Are you wearing one?
I'm wearing an Orton shirt right now. That's the first one.
100% on board with Randy Orton.
Better
in this
than
one.
You.
Yeah.
Just.
I hate the argument of they owe me because I pay for that. If you bought a ticket to see them wrestle and they're in the arena at the event and you ask for an autograph, yes. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But if, just because you bought
but
a ticket to see him wrestle.
But if you're camped out by their rental car.
Yeah. Dane doesn't owe you anything. He's a human being.
Yeah. And so this bugs me. So, and you know what? And even in the D-bag's defense, maybe he shouldn't have used the language that he did.
Right.
Maybe that was crossing a line. I will give you that argument. I will concede that point. I would have used worse probably.
Yeah,
I'm a monster. But no, it's like these are human beings who have lives and are entitled to being able to work out in peace.
We don't even like at the CCW shows, we get awkward talking to the wrestler, or we did, especially at first, talking to the wrestlers during the show. Like in the midtime or the halftime, the intermission or whatever, we didn't even like going up to like Hollis or Brandon and saying, hey, what's up, man?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're there to wrestle and perform.
Okay,
I don't
want
to bother them.
The coupon that I made for Jeff Odell.
Yeah.
I was so nervous to give him that. And they're like, no, just do it. Like, I think it was Hunter. It was just like, he's right there. Just go do it.
Right. But like, we don't want to do it because we don't want to bother them. So I can't imagine seeing.
I could not. Oh, so when TNA came to Cape one time, I saw James Storm and, the announcer, Jeremy Borash. And there was one other person. I can't remember. They were eating at Mongolian Grill. And I was there with my roommate. I was just there getting lunch before we went to the show. And I was like, that's James Storm. And like, I know those were one of the wrestlers. He's like, he's like, go talk to him. It's like, I can't.
Yeah, why?
I can't be that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If, you know, on the way to the arena, even if, like, I thought about maybe even just waiting outside for them to come out.
Right.
And even then just be, and like, and this is what CM Punk talks about. The way that you approach someone like that is just wanted to say real quick, big fan, thanks for coming. If there's any chance I could get a picture, I'd appreciate it.
Right.
And if they say no, okay, have a good day.
Right.
Not, Hey, you.
You owe me.
You. Snapping, like, just.
Remember when Xavier Woods came and hung out with us at the store?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody was so nervous when he walked in because nobody wanted to bother him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and then when I saw him afterwards, because I had
when
to go.
He left,
and when I came back, he was in the parking lot talking to Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, okay, I don't want to bother him because he's in a conversation. But I thought, you know what? I'll be polite. I have to get a picture. I will regret it if I don't.
Right.
And he seemed so nice in the store.
I didn't want to ask him for a picture.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He's here to, you know, he wanted to check out the store.
But I walk up to him and I say, you know, I say, Mr. Woods. I called him Mr. Woods. I say, if I don't ask you for a picture, I'm going to regret it. So can I get one? And he was the coolest guy about it. We took a picture. Now, if I would have walked up and snapped my fingers while he's talking to Hunter and be like, hey, new day.
Hey, let me take a picture.
Hey, consequences.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like some fans want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally see Austin's in the right here. I want to know, Allie, do you think Austin's in the right?
Or Randy?
Randy?
I got it at the last second.
Yeah, because you don't, they have no, what are the words I'm trying to say here?
They have no
obligation.
Obligation.
Yeah. Obligation to take a picture with a fan while they're doing stuff.
Like you said,
outside of their job.
He paid to work out.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly. He paid to work out there. When I was on campus, when I went to school, if I had my headphones in, I wore my headphones exclusively so I wouldn't have to talk to people.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you would still get people just be like, oh, hey, you take a flyer, come to this event, you know, just,
you know,
if someone needs help with something, like, cause I've had someone tell me like, hey, sorry to bother you, I'm trying to find this building. Oh, it's, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. It's all on how you approach.
Right. But when you come up waving a, like, I've had, leave me alone.
When Bob and I we worked out at, Fitness Plus, there was a time that KFES 12 came in and they wanted to record people working out for a story. Mm-hmm. And Bob had headphones in and he was on the elliptical and they walked up with the camera and they like tapped him, which don't do that.
No, yeah.
Don't do that when someone's working out. So Bob looks over and they like asked him and he pointed at his ears. So then they pointed at the camera and he went like this. He shook his head. No. So what they do, they walked over and started recording him anyway. And I saw the look on Bob's face because they recorded it from the waist down. You know, it's like a B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
But the look on Bob's face, he was so pissed off. And I don't blame him. You right. don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
so
shady.
So F that guy.
Yeah.
He'd be the MF-er of the week if we were still doing that.
He really would.
We're done with him. speaking of D-bags, Baron Corbin. But in a good way. But in
the
a good
best,
way.
The yeah. best kind.
Has been doing some of the best work since mm-hmm. he started on Talking Smack exclusively. Talking Smack is like a haven for people to get really good interviews.
And it's not even that. And it's exactly that. But it's because they're not, okay, here are the 15 words that you have to say.
Here's the bullet
points. You have to say this.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. No, he's able to just kind of be himself and cut loose because the guy seems real charismatic. Same thing with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like just, I don't understand how you can see how good they are. Cause the line.
Zack Ryder.
Because the best line was, well, Undertaker says he dug 29 graves. Well, that's fine, because the world needs ditch diggers. wonderful. Like, oh, the fans, you know, really don't seem to like you, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. I like their money.
I have been defending him for years.
Well, then you
no!
stopped.
Oh,
no! Well, then it was then the Andre.
Stopped.
Yeah, because it was Andre.
Stopped. Mm-hmm. Because I hated Baron Corbin in NXT.
I didn't hate him.
I
found
him
boring.
Yeah.
I thought he was boring.
He really, but then he slowly started, by the end of his NXT run, I was becoming a fan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I was 100% there, but I liked him. Like, I didn't actively dislike him like I had before. And then, like, everything he's done on WWE TV has ranged from surprisingly good to he's wrestling Ziggler again.
It's basically the same story every time of Corbin beats up a smaller guy.
But that Kalisto feud was amazing.
Yeah.
It was.
Because Kalisto is...
Sold like a champ.
Sold like a champ, but also his offense on someone Baron Corbin's size was believable. The speed and intensity was what it needed to be. And to Corbin's credit, he sold it so well.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I've said this about many wrestlers before. If you take a guy like Baron Corbin in the 80s, a big guy who was so naturally charismatic as he seems to be, dude would have been money. He would have been money. He would be up there with the Hulk Hogan's and the Macho Men. Man. Well, I mean, he would be wrestling.
If he was that
no, I mean, he would be wrestling.
Granted, I haven't seen him on cocaine. So maybe.
Dude, Baron Corbin on cocaine would be a revelation. Let me just tell you.
He would do a full flip over on that end of
days. We don't support illegal drugs.
Off Kalisto's body. Just the entire
thing. It would be a big
Kalisto
bump.
He would use Kalisto to chop up the lines. again, we do not support the illegal drug use.
Don't do drugs,
kids.
Not at all.
Don't do drugs.
So keep an eye on Baron Corbin. And again, Talking Smack has been a great place for feuds.
Just character work. It's these people are able to come in unshackled.
Yeah.
Look at The Miz, the promo of his career, the promo of the year.
Daniel Bryan, who seems so relaxed and like he's having fun on that show.
On Talking Smack. Yeah. And then you kind of see him a little bit, you know, it's that maybe it is equal, it might also be just the live crowd. There's not a live crowd there in front of them, so they're able to be a little bit more relaxed.
But they seem like Talking Smack has become an actually important show. It doesn't feel like a throwaway.
It so bums me out that they replaced, that it pushed it after 205 Live.
Which makes no sense.
It really
and we
doesn't.
Have complained.
205 Live post NXT, Talking Smack right after SmackDown. Just do it. There you go.
205 Live should have its own taping. Or at the very least after NXT, because that's only an hour.
Yeah.
When you expect people...
But the NXT tapings are like 4 hours because they...
Oh, they do
they
multiple
do
shows.
Yeah.
See, I would do 205 Live at a different time. Maybe, you know, do it on the road. Tape it when you're at house shows or something. Because I feel like 205 Live could be such a good show, but that crowd is so dead after watching SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you just saw Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton go at it and all this stuff. Now here's Noam Dar. And it's not
a knock on Noam Dar.
No, not at all.
It's just the casual fan. Again, we always go back to the house show here in Cape.
Yeah.
You know, people went nuts for Big Show.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe how popular Big Show was.
Right.
No one knew who Enzo and Cass were. No one cared.
Yeah. They solved. By the way, I wanted to throw this in and I'm getting a chance now. Big Show, dude is looking hot.
I did that for you.
Thank you so much. Big Show posted an Instagram photo of him working out, getting ready for his match against Shaq. Shaq Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fushnikins might be there. I'm hoping, but Big Show posted a picture of.
Did you just have a stroke? Moving past it. Big Show working out.
Dude, he lifted up his shirt, and if you've paid attention to the Big Show over the years. Always a gifted athlete because he is good and he is charismatic. Remember the Showster and the Shokishi when they let him be, you know, have fun. Well, now
really good comedic timing.
He looks like a white Rick Ross kind of because he's got the ball. Or no, he looks like Obadiah Stane from Iron Man.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's kind fair.
Of. But he lifts
with
his shirt
the
up.
Iron suit on.
Yeah, dude is ripped. He's
but if the iron suit had muscles,
it was Big Show.
It's crazy.
And you know, and it's weird because speaking of Kalisto, I think that's how big each of those abs are.
Yeah,
he's got little luchadors in his, his stomach.
It's a handicap match. You can check.
His abs are doing lucha rolls.
That's the only thing that bugs me. Is, cause I've always liked Big Show.
Yeah.
I've always criticized the way WWE treats Big Show.
Yeah.
Of having him go from heel to face to heel to face, sometimes in the same episode, sometimes in the same segment, multiple times. It's because he deserves better. It's the same with Kane. You have this giant person with such ability to do whatever you need them to do. And that was his response to it, was like, well, what do you say to people saying you turn too much? It's like, well, if they need a big imposing heel, I can do that. If you need a lighthearted baby face, I can do that.
And I think
and he can.
I think he's even said he didn't like how they treated him.
Oh yeah, no.
But he's just like, I mean, they give me a paycheck, so I'm gonna do it.
Right. But so now the kind of motivation that he's showing for Shaq. For a match with Shaq.
To be fair, all signs point to this being his retirement match.
Against Shaq.
Which is, yeah, I get it.
That's a waste.
It is.
He could be doing, look at the roster that they have right now and the guys he hasn't worked with.
Yeah.
And you're telling me your best option is Shaq? Come on.
I mean, I get it.
But it's going to be memorable. Like, it'll always be memorable.
I'm not saying it won't be memorable.
Match. He gets that match at every WrestleMania. He fought Floyd Mayweather. He fought Akebono.
Yeah.
He fought, I know there's some more celebrities he fought. Because
it's just those two.
Is it just those two plus Shaq now?
Mm-hmm.
He seems to get that match, which, by the way, Allie, you know who Floyd Mayweather is?
Yeah.
Money Mayweather? A great boxer. Complete worthless piece of trash, but a great boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Akebono was a Japanese sumo wrestler. Big Show literally dressed up in the sumo outfit and they had a sumo match at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, and they took the ropes out, they put a circle around the ring, and it was a snore fest.
It was
a disaster.
Yeah, it was a train wreck if the train wreck was directed by Ty West. Mm-hmm. Take that, Ty West.
Finally.
Took him down a peg.
But yeah, I think there's so much great work that Big Show could still do that I just feel like it's wasted on Shaq. You're not wrong that in that it's a huge moment. Someone who is not a WWE fan who hears that Shaq's gonna wrestle.
I wanna see that.
I'll see that.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to kind of the Wrestle Kingdom thing. I watched Wrestle Kingdom because I wanted to see Okada Omega.
Yeah.
And then I ended up falling in love with the Gorillas of Destiny, with Los Ingobernales de Japón.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, now I'm interested in the product. And I get that argument, but
plus, I mean,
I want to see Shaq someone wrestle. I want to see Big Show wrestle someone who can, you know,
wrestle,
put on a great match with him because he can do great matches.
Yeah,
and
he's done great matches.
I think it's important for us to say that's not even a shot against Shaq. Like, I'm a Shaq fan. I think Shaq is charismatic. He's big. He's
athletic. He's absolutely charismatic, and he looks like what Vince wants in a wrestler.
I have no doubt that.
But
it'll be entertaining.
I don't know what kind of match he can put on.
Won't be good, probably. But I don't know. We'll see. I said the same things when I was younger about Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman in WCW. And Dennis Rodman, not only did he do well in WCW, he was actually one of their best characters. He was. You can criticize the man all you want. He was huge in WCW. Karl Malone also did very well. Took his wrestling very seriously, trained with DDP, and had a good match with Jay Leno against Hulk Hogan. Oh, my God. The memories are coming back.
Are you having a stroke, Shannon?
You can feel the wrongness coming in.
Oh, I'm starting to think about the Fushnickens more. I'll feel better. All right. Let's move on.
I don't like that word.
Fushnickens?
Stop it!
I'm sorry.
It makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why.
Speaking of uncomfortable, let's talk about the Hardys for a second. Can we talk about the... Hey, Kev. Hey,
you want to talk about the Hardys?
It's my Jay Leno. That's terrible. Yeah, about this?
Hey, I'll do someone watching Jay Leno. Too mean.
So the Hardys, I saw this video today. I think it's a couple days old.
Yeah.
Where Matt and Jeff challenged.
They're on their expedition for gold.
Yes. And I really like this thing, and I hate it at the same time. And I think Ace and I hate it for the same reason. But let me tell you what it is first. If you didn't see it, Matt and Jeff basically call out every tag team champion in the world. They called out by name. Sheamus and Cesaro. They called out American Alpha. They called out the Young Bucks. I think that's it because I think that's the only ones they knew. off the top of their head.
It's a chance.
They tried to get some of the Japanese wrestlers, could not pronounce it.
Gave up.
Here's why it's cool, because it fits their character. It totally fits Matt Hardy.
They want to be the best wrestlers in time and space.
Right. Mm-hmm. So,
crazy, broken Matt Hardy's seven deities
told him
they have to go on this expedition for gold.
So that's why it's good, because it fits Hardy's character, and it's an interesting story that one wrestling tag team could fight all the tag teams to gain glory. Now, here's the problem with it, is it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And when it's not going to happen, now it's just the Hardys trying to get attention from Sheamus and Cesaro, which looks minor league. It looks terrible.
Especially when they try to make it out like, oh, well, you know, if we have to, we'll show up on Raw. No, you won't. No one believes you will.
Yeah.
You'll show up on Raw when Vince McMahon allows you to show up on Raw.
With your TNA titles.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to wrestle the Young Bucks on 205 Live or NXT.
No, they said they won't do 205 Live. They said they'll do Cruiserweight Classic. They said they'll do NXT.
It's just not a thing anymore.
Which and really annoyed me was the Young Bucks response. And I know I've been critical of the Young Bucks, but I have said they're good wrestlers. Mm-hmm. But the way they were talking about, you know, we'll show up at this show, we'll show up at that show.
Because we're not afraid.
To get the heat.
We're not scared to get in trouble, to get the heat. ROH can't do anything to us. We'll wrestle. Yeah. And it's like,
if you're going to say like, well, it's kind of cool that the Hardys are doing this in their character. That is the Young Bucks character. That has always been
But two things. One, if you're a young fan, a regular fan, like a casual fan who doesn't know the inner workings of wrestling, yeah, that would seem pretty cool. You would go, oh my God, are they going to show up on Raw or SmackDown? Just like when I was a kid. And, you know, they thought that Vince McMahon was going to invade the WCW pay-per-view.
He comes down on a motorcycle.
Yeah. So I thought, well, what if Vince McMahon shows up? Of course he never would.
Right.
If you're a young fan and a casual fan, you're probably not watching Ring of Honor to see the Young Bucks. You're watching WWE.
Yeah.
So who are they trying to appeal to with this? I don't know.
And again, we're saying the Hardys, it makes sense for them to want to be the best tag team in all of time and space.
Yes.
And you can't.
Because they're delusional.
Yeah.
That's their characters.
And you can't say that, you know, oh, well, we're the best tag team ever if you haven't done the WWE, because that is the mountaintop. No matter what you say, WWE is the number one wrestling promotion in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No questions asked.
Yes.
I take issue when the Hardys then say, we'll show up on Raw if we have to, because no, you won't.
Right.
And then the Young Bucks saying, them making it sound like the only reason Sheamus and Cesaro don't answer the challenge is because they're afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scared they'll get in trouble. Vince McMahon would not care, because the New Day did it. The New Day actively pushed on Twitter for an Elite versus New Day match.
Yeah.
No one's scared. No one thinks that Vince McMahon is going to fire anyone or get anyone in trouble for mentioning, oh yeah, yeah, we'll wrestle you, name the time and place.
Yeah.
Well then, guess what? Then that's back on them. And what are they going to say? Yeah, come wrestle in front of 600 people.
Come to the barn outside of TNA's new offices.
Yeah.
We'll take you on.
So that's the problem that I have with it.
If this were real life, Sheamus and Cesaro would kill the Young Bucks for sure. The Hardys, I don't know how much of a chance they would stand. It depends on how coked up Jeff Hardy is.
Go for the knees.
Yeah. Just watch out for Cesaro. He will literally pick four people on his arms and spin them into the heavens.
He will beat one Hardy with another Hardy.
While the Young Bucks are on his back trying to choke him.
And don't get me wrong, the Young Bucks accepting the challenge, yeah, I want to see that match. I was super bummed that the Young Bucks weren't at the Tag Team Apocalypto.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like a perfect opportunity to bring them in.
Because they're probably, outside of WWE, the most prevalent tag team in the world. Especially at
minus the Hardys. Minus the New Day.
Well, just...
Minus,
I said,
I think you said
WWE.
And you said champions.
Yeah.
You did say champions.
The Hardys are TNA champions.
Yes.
But they were the Ring of Honor and IWP or GP.
Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. I love that intro. I don't care. That was fun.
So anyway.
I want to see this match. Yeah,
it will happen. The fact that they went to Ring of Honor and did that, and now that the Young Bucks have responded, they're clearly building toward a Young Bucks versus Hardys match. The problem is that's as far as it will go. You will not see the Hardys on WWE TV.
Yeah.
It will not happen.
Them.
Unless Anthem has a PP tape of Vince McMahon.
That won't matter.
That's what was in the lockbox the whole time.
Shane's lockbox.
It was just a bad
The Hardys will be on WWE TV, but they will never be on, they won't be on any other screen. They won't be on TNA.
ROH. Like, it'll be when they get their Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah. Or even before, it wouldn't put me past, once the Hardys contract comes up, if WWE made them an offer. Like, that's what WWE does.
Right.
Triple H himself has said, like, anyone who has buzz online, of course I'm interested in. I'm interested in talent.
And that's actually going to lead me into another story I had about ESPN.com. They wrote an article on Kenny Omega, and this is just a short piece, but it was talking about Omega and the interest from WWE in signing Kenny Omega, especially after Wrestle Kingdom 11, because mm-hmm. Omega is a superstar at this point. He is the most famous wrestler not in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By far. And Triple H followed that up with, like you said, of course, we're interested in all talent. Anyone that's making a buzz, anyone that's making a splash. So he didn't outright say, yes, I want to sign Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. But of course he does.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to sign Kenny Omega right now?
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. But it's the fact that ESPN.com wrote it that really interested me.
Yeah.
Because that's a legit news site for sports.
Yeah.
This isn't dirtsheet.com.
And they've been working with WWE a lot in the last few months.
So for them to put a piece out about Kenny Omega and WWE, it's like, okay, there's gotta be something being said or something. There's no way they would just throw the slapdash article online for people to see. This isn't CNN.
And the only reason this feel like that's the kind of answer where Triple H says, of course we want Kenny Omega. He can't say that because a lot of the way that the New Japan does their contracts are you can't negotiate with another company while you're under contract.
Right.
And a lot of that stuff kind of got added in after Nakamura and AJ.
Right.
Gallows
and Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it could be them kind of just like, oh, well, yeah, of course we would be interested in the number one guy, but I wouldn't put a whole lot of, don't get me wrong. I think Triple H, of course, wants Omega, especially if he wants him at NXT.
I think at some point in the next few years, you will see Kenny Omega in WWE.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all, but I don't think it'll happen this year.
Right.
See, and that's where I'm like, I think it'll happen this year.
I want it to. I would love if Vince could, if Kenny Omega was going to leave anyway, and he told New Japan Wrestling, I'm leaving for WWE after this, and Vince McMahon could make them an offer of let him appear early, two days early or whatever,
right.
I have no doubt that New Japan would go, okay.
Yeah.
If you throw enough money in, or if you say, lend you this wrestler.
Right. If he gave him the notice, of course, but
we're talking about the Rumble, of course.
Yeah. I really think Kenny wants to do the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And I think that, you know, by June or July, he'll have it in one of those shows.
He should.
He should. And, you know, especially, I don't know. I would rather see him do what he wants to do in Japan than come in and potentially be, it's the story that he told on Talk is Jericho about, okay, you're going to be the cleaner. They want you to be the cleaner, the silent assassin. Well, that's not what he wanted to be. So he just started bringing out mops and like brooms and trash cans and janitorial equipment to the ring. It's like, no, I'm the cleaner. That's how you end up as Scotty Goldman.
Right.
Because Vince is petty as hell.
Yes.
New Japan was just like, what? All right, we'll go with it because it seems to be working. But Vince has the pride that'll stop him from doing that. So I would rather see him live up to his full potential in New Japan and then come to WWE.
That's that frustration factor of Vince. And Vince went on the Austin podcast, wasn't the first one, I believe.
Yeah.
And basically said that brass ring, people aren't taking chances. They're not trying new things. They're not trying to get attention.
Don't bring up the brass ring.
Well, it's terrible because you're absolutely right. If Kenny Omega, if they told Kenny Omega, okay, here's your terrible gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went out and did something different because he knew it'd be better. Even if the crowd reacted to it, Vince would be so petty. Scotty Goldman.
Yeah.
Look at that. It would absolutely happen.
Well, that's not what happened with Scotty Goldman.
Yeah,
we're just using that as an example of you have Colt Cabana, who's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Dusty Rhodes. Better example.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes. Fantastic wrestler, one of the all-time greats. He gets to WWE, they slap him in a fat
polka dot
suit thing, and yeah, just bad. Dalton, you were going to say something.
I was going to talk about how the reason they called him Scotty Goldman is because Carlito. He had Carlito's Cabana. And that's why, because they were going to name him, like, they were going to let him keep his name.
I would have named him Officer Colt Cabana. Put him up against Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy. But that's neither high nor there. No. mops and stuff. Mops. That reminds me of somebody. Mops. Oh. We use mops.
I like this bit.
Okay, Perry Saturn. Let's drop the bit. We got about 10 minutes left. We got a couple more stories. Real quick, Perry Saturn was on Talk with Jericho. Perry Saturn has had a very rough time in the past few years.
Well, like the last decade.
Leading up to the Talk is Jericho podcast, he posted a video on Facebook asking for donations because he was sick and he was about to lose his house. He was going to be homeless. And he looked rough. He sounded rough. Did not look like a person who was taking care of himself.
Right.
Just so it was real bad. Chris Jericho then again, Paragon of Virtue.
My God.
Matched the, what the, I think it was $5,000. Yeah. Was the Patreon or the GoFundMe, goal. Chris Jericho just immediately matched it himself personally.
Oh, just so you know, it's not $5,000, it's a $100,000 goal.
Did Chris Jericho match it?
No.
I think he just donated $5,000.
Okay, he donated $5,000, yeah.
Okay, so, well then, there you go. Chris Jericho donates this big sum of money.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
no,
not for
I'm
Jericho,
not...
but that is a life-changing sum of money.
Oh, for any one of us.
Yeah.
$5,000.
It seems like that for Perry Saturn.
Saturn seems like he's in worse shape than all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's sad to say. Again, go back to the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah.
So.
And so, but he was on the Talk Is Jericho podcast. I didn't listen to it because...
You didn't want to be sad.
That does not sound like it's going to be any sort of uplifting or.
It had its moments. And basically Jericho was just did the show has been like, all right, so he's like always been a good guy. I'm going to do this show, go to his GoFundMe and support him.
Yeah.
So he does the show and they talk about wrestling for a long time and I always loved Perry Saturn. I forget how good he was.
Remember how excited we were when Neville used the Rings of Saturn?
Yeah. Like,
we're like, that's the Rings of Saturn. I love that move.
I love Saturn and the Raven's Flock in WCW. It was my favorite faction.
Yeah. Yep. I loved him in the Radicals.
Yeah, as the Radicals. Yeah. Yep.
So, do you want me to say the like super sad part?
Yeah, go ahead.
So he's talking about his like drug addiction and at some point he just becomes like the debt collector for drug dealers. Like they wouldn't pay him. They would just give him drugs, which is all he wanted. And his wife, OD'd and passed away. And he said, he was like, yeah, so I was at this broken down barn I made a little lean-to and I was looking at my life and I said, well, all I have is this dog that I've had for a year. That's all I have. Once this dog dies, I'm just gonna off myself. And then he meets another drug addict that was homeless. Then they get married. Like he protects, like he, it kind of becomes like, hey, watch me, I'll watch you. And then they kind of, get married and now, but his life is still in shambles. Like he's trying to build it. They're both sober. I think he said he's been sober for like a year or two now. It's just one of those things. Cause he was even saying, he's like, yeah, so many hardcore matches. He was like, I remember whenever I was telling, and he was talking to Chris Jericho. Like, I remember when I was telling you, it was like, I want you to throw the chair at my head as hard as you could. Just make sure it's flat. He's like, if it's just level, it won't hurt me as much and I won't get mad at you. If it's crooked, we're going to have issues. But yeah, no. And he said, he was like, yeah, and we didn't know what we were doing back then. And even Chris Jericho says, like, yeah, I don't know how many concussions I've had.
Oh, by the way, I didn't have this on the notes, but just saying that you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Kevin Nash has said he's going to donate his brain and spinal cord to
the CTE.
Research. So good on him.
Yep,
good on Kevin Nash. I didn't mean to take away from the Perry.
Oh yeah, no, but it was super sad, but it was also super uplifting. Also, Perry Saturn's just really good at telling stories.
He is.
Like it was an hour and a half podcast. It's worth the listen.
I liked his You Shoot video where he talked about the incident with the wrestler
Mike Bell.
Yeah, from WWF. One, I just want to say I don't like the You Shoot videos in general. Like it's very exploitive.
Yeah, because it's never like a happy person.
No, it's scummy. Yeah. It's scummy as hell. But I did find the interview interesting. And yeah, Saturn does tell a good story.
He talked about Mike Bell on the podcast and he was like, yeah, so the second time he dropped me on my head, the next thing I remember is punching him in the corner.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I don't remember what happened in between that. And he's like, and then Vince was yelling at me and I told him, I can't promise that won't happen again. If somebody drops me on my head and I don't know what happens, I'm going to defend myself.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah. And then they saddled him with Moppy.
And the dress.
Kids, if you think wrestling is like, it's not all, you know, John Cena clotheslines. Like, wrestling's rough. It's, is it scripted? Of course it is. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous and unforgiving. It's the worst part of show business because they eat you up and spit you out and do not care about you after you're gone.
Yeah.
That's the sad truth about wrestling. I hate it, but it is. And Saturn is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
So very sad about Saturn. I really do hope he turns around.
So Jericho gave him $5,000. Dallas Page gave him $2,000.
That's good.
It's hard for me to not go, okay, well, why can't Vince McMahon just throw him $100,000? It's not Vince McMahon's responsibility to give every wrestler that has a rough life money. It's not. But there's that part of you that always goes, well, why don't rich people give more to poor people? Why do you need that much money when other people desperately need it? But that's a whole other subject. Like, that's a different show. That's a Mr. 105 Star Man.
That's a 2-0 Thursday show.
Two more things, and then we're going to get out of here, guys. This is huge. Michael Cole is leaving WWE TV.
Potentially. He is interested in an off-screen, behind-the-scenes role.
Maybe as
a producer, as, you know, just because he's doing stuff backstage now, so.
He's been the voice of WWE since before Jim Ross left.
For better or worse.
Yep.
And it's,
which, to be fair, the heel Michael Cole was not his fault. Vince probably thought that was hilarious.
He did the best with what he had.
Yeah.
Michael Cole, when he's serious as a commentator, I don't think he's as good as Jim Ross, who is, but he's good. Like,
no,
and Michael Cole is a legit journalist. He's covered wars. Like, the dude is legit. He's not just, he's not Mike Adamley. What was his name?
Mike Adamley.
Yeah, he's not that. But it's big that they're going to take him off TV, possibly, and put him backstage. Who's going to be the new voice of the WWE?
And I honestly, like, I don't see that happening soon at all. But if it did, like, you really have some talent for your announce teams. And when I say that, you have Mauro, you have Corey Graves, and you have Tom Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
If you move, I still just think the Raw show should be Tom and Corey Graves. Tom Phillips, Corey Graves. Give SmackDown Mauro and Saxton. And JBL. Even, like, let JBL be the color guy over there.
What about Otunga?
What about Otunga?
He should be just worrying about legal issues.
Go back to the legal team.
Sexiest lawyer.
I mean, you're not
sexiest
wrong.
Sexiest lawyer since Ally McBeal. I'll say it.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think Tom Phillips is as good as Corey Graves. Or I don't think Tom Phillips is as good as Michael Cole. But Tom Phillips with Corey Graves, that could very easily be your new JR and King.
And plus, you know, Michael Cole didn't go into the WWE as the best announcer. You know, he worked there for many, many years.
He was a backstage interviewer.
Oh, man.
I still remember some of those awkward segments. Yeah.
The Rock just tore him every time. It was so great.
Yeah, the Heidenreich thing.
And honestly, like, I think Saxton, especially with his character of just the punching bag and the sad sack, you put him in the backstage interview and you let, you know, guys like Baron Corbin.
He could be the new coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Got him as coach.
Just not as good.
Never thought I'd say that.
Exactly. I hated Coach on commentary. Hated Coach on commentary. And now, looking back at it, I was like, Coach was amazing on commentary.
Yeah.
I was so like, oh, he
you
got
see
me.
Him on ESPN
he
and you're like, me. Good job. Like,
I was so excited when he got hired at ESPN.
Oh, me too.
Because that meant he was fired from WWE.
Oh.
I was so happy to see him leave. And now I look back and I'm just like, you stupid Mark.
Could you imagine?
You got so worked.
You remember the New Day thing on ESPN?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if that was an ongoing because he was working for WWE. That would be the greatest thing in the world.
And before we go to the last story, you guys just remind me real quick because I can't think of his name. It's going to drive me crazy. Who was the other guy that went to ESPN? Had kind of a spiky hair and glasses. Worked at
Todd Grisham?
Todd Grisham. That's it. Okay. That was going to drive me crazy if I couldn't think of it. Thank you, Asa. All right, last thing. We're going to get out of here. We've been following TNA forever and talking about the saga of TNA, and it now officially looks like TNA is dead. The name.
Yes.
TNA is dead. With Anthem purchasing TNA, it looks like it's just going to be referred to as Impact Wrestling, which is a good idea. Jesse. No, not Jesse. Why would he be here? Asa said that Dutch Mantel is the head of creative over there now.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Jarrett. Cause Jeff Jarrett is now back in a position of power with TNA.
That's bad.
Which is weird. 2016, and as long as he's off screen, not bad. Cause I don't think Jeff Jarrett is a bad mind. Global Force Wrestling was kind of a flop.
His selfishness in TNA and in WCW late.
And putting himself over
with Vince Russo was bad.
Constantly making himself champion.
He was baby Hogan. He
really
was working toward it.
He really was. Yeah. And then they got the real thing to kill it.
except no imitators.
So, with Dutch Mantel, because Dutch Mantel is so good.
AKA Zeb Coulter.
Yeah.
From WWE, if you remember Zeb Coulter, you should.
So
he's great.
Good as a, but he's so great as a creative mind. But yeah, it looks like they're actively working towards phasing out the TNA name, which is something I said they needed to do for.
Cause it was a terrible name to begin with. It started as a joke because it was TNA, get it?
Yeah.
Because they used to have strippers. I mean, it was rough. The early days of TNA was like the Wild Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
Then they turned it into, you know, hey, it's total nonstop action. TNA at that point, okay, I get it. But now the TNA name is poison. It's poison.
It's
it needs to die.
Yeah, it's.
Also, Mickey James. She came back on SmackDown. She was
La Luchadora.
Thank you. And she is going to be at Elimination Chamber?
No, we got this wrong again. Mickey James she debuted on SmackDown. Like, okay. She was revealed as La Luchadora. And then, Shane McMahon on SmackDown announced that the WWE Championship is going to be defended in the Elimination Chamber before WrestleMania.
Oh.
So in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, that's the SmackDown show is Raw is Fastlane, SmackDown gets the Elimination Chamber. Who gets the better end of that?
Fastlane. Race cars. Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Boo.
Can we talk about, like, can I have like 3 minutes to talk about the UK tournament?
I actually have that on the list. Oh, okay. And well, I forgot about it. It's because I've been going back and forth. Yeah. Here. So here you go. You ready for it? You ready? There goes that script.
And.
Hey, you made it.
No.
Yeah.
So the UK tournament was over the weekend.
Yep.
We watched the first night here. Mm-hmm. Me, Dalton, and Allie. And, it was good, but it wasn't great. Be honest, it was good, but it wasn't great. You have to be honest. Some of the wrestlers look good. The matches weren't quite as good as we expected, especially coming after that amazing Cruiserweight Classic.
And see, real quick too, speaking of tournaments, Triple H confirmed that there is a women's tournament coming this year, hopefully during the summer.
Yes, and if Nikki Lane and Sarah Summers aren't in it in a little bit, I'm out. I'm out. Anyway, night two, I didn't get to see it, but I've heard it was much better. We have our first UK champion, Dalton.
I will pass
it to you.
Yeah, all right, so the...
Also, Tommy N debuted.
I thought this was given to me.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the tournament.
Which was during the tournament.
But go ahead.
Anyway, the UK tournament part two was Sunday, and you had a lot of good matches. It's like 4.5 hours of total if you watch part one and two. You can watch part two. It's only 2.5 hours, and you'll get pretty much everything you need to. Amazing talent. The matches were really good. Pete Dunne, as much as I didn't like what he was doing during the tournament, I realized that I was just being like...
You were a mark.
Oh, yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker.
So bad.
Yeah.
But, super, I think you like Pete Dunne the way he was the one that had like the fur thing.
I remember him.
You need to watch his matches. They were insane.
Pete Dunne, he had a good look. I remember saying he impressed me. He and, Tyler Bates and, the gypsy. I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. He fought Wolfgang, though.
He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked him.
But like so many good people coming out of this. So.
Allie, what did you call Tyler Bates?
Oh, the European JR.
Yeah.
The face.
And how he walks.
Yeah.
So, amazing matches. If you're going to watch it, just watch part two. You get everything you need. Mark Andrews is going to be a name to look for in the Cruiserweight division in about 4 months.
Also a former TNA wrestler, isn't he?
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure.
Because they were kept saying, like, that's the one you need to look for.
They were grooming him. You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell.
And
he
like
was the Kota Ibushi of this tournament.
Yeah. And so, Pete Dunne attacked Bate after his semifinal match and just destroyed his shoulder. Then you had...
Oh, that was Gladwell.
Nope, it was Bate.
What, he beat Bate? Well, didn't he also beat up Gladwell?
But yeah, that was the first night. I'm talking second
night. So he beat up two people after their matches.
That's why I didn't like it, because they didn't do that during the CWC. But right. I realized they were building towards a TV show, which is why they did that. So he destroys Dunne, just wrecks his shoulder. Or Pete Dunne destroys Tyler Bate, destroys his shoulder before the finals match. Adrian Neville comes out and says, well, looks like I was forgotten about again. Forgot about me during the CWC. Forgot about me during 205 Live. Forgot about me during the UK tournament. I should be the UK champion anyway. Random music hits, and then Tommy End gets displayed on the screen. Big UK wrestler. It was awesome to see.
We've talked about, because he got signed to WWE. Yeah. Last week he got a NXT name as Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Which, like you pointed out, he didn't wrestle as Aleister Black.
Yeah, he wrestled as
Tommy End.
And they didn't do the Kenta thing where it was like, Kenta, fade, 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 Hideo Tommy. It was Tommy End, and they called him Tommy End. I hope they stick with that.
They won't, I don't think, because he actually wrestled at, I think it was either Evolve or a Progress show that
recently, weekend
as well.
Yeah, and he was
and
Aleister
he wrestled
Black.
As Aleister Black.
It was NXT, I'm pretty sure.
It was an indie show. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll throw this out there. I still like the name Aleister Black.
No, it's
That's
a great name.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, it definitely
no.
sounds like a, someone's like, oh, it sounds like a Harry Potter villain.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
But like a good one.
Or a supernatural villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
I'd watch that season.
Mm-hmm. And Neville have a match. It was fantastic. And then they had the finals match. It was so good. Like, and both of the guys are young. I don't know how old Pete Dunne is. Tyler Bate is 19 years old.
Oh, I think they said during Dunne's match, didn't they
he's
say?
He's 23. He's 23.
And he's been wrestling for 12 years.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
He was 11 when he started wrestling.
And that explains William Regal. Cause it was the same thing. And I'm so upset cause like every time that Dunne would do that, Regal would get in his face. And he even said, he's like, I've spent the last 6 months of my life getting this ready. Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
And just Regal being Regal. Nigel McGuinness was amazing on commentary.
He was really good.
Michael Cole was a big fan of him too.
That's what I'm saying. When Cole is given,
Cole is given just straight up play by play.
He's good.
He's great.
He's solid.
Yeah. And, and just.
McGuinness was really good. Although I could not stop hearing Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah.
Could not stop hearing him. Kept hearing it.
My recommendation for the week, watch part two for sure. Keep an eye out for Pete Dunne, because I think he's going to be a big heel in this UK show if it actually ends up being a thing. which he is just, so good.
That's something that I want to mention because the more I look about it, you're not the only person that hated the fact that Dunn was attacking his opponents in the tournament.
Yeah.
But the difference between.
And you talked to me about it.
Yeah, because the reason that I don't think it's a big deal is because the reason we didn't see that at the Cruiserweight Classic was because the Cruiserweight Classic, as far as the fans knew and as far as the competitors knew.
One and done.
That was one and done. You're doing these shows and that's it. Of course, it led into the Cruiserweight Championship and now being on Raw and then 205 Live. The UK tournament from day one, we knew the tournament was to crown the champion and then there's a whole.
As a precursor.
The UK show is a thing. It's a show. It has, you know, Nigel McGuinness. There is a champion. There will be storylines and characters. So this was just, they actually did something really smart in that they used the tournament to set explain up. Characters. Yeah. So now now there's a need for good guys and bad guys, faces and heels. And that you didn't necessarily need for the Cruiserweight Classic.
And I want to say that I'm excited to see the UK show.
I am too.
They're not filming it after Raw. They're not filming it before this.
And I
this
think that will help it.
Thing. Yeah.
But you didn't get, I was here the second match in, one of the three of you said, boy, I'm getting real sick of this crowd.
Yeah. True that.
That was me,
What the hell are they saying?
So guess what?
But the thing of it is...
Now you're going to get an hour-long show of that crowd there for that event.
Didn't think of that.
You're getting the full sale, except they're British, so they're going to sing all their annoying chants.
He's got me there, dog.
Have fun.
It's Full Sail. Full Sail University. I'm getting flipped off. That must mean it's time to wrap it up. Okay. Yeah. So thank
Happy
you.
Happy 400th.
Thank you. Oh, God! God!
I remembered.
This is the 400th show. That's amazing. Thank you guys for listening. This is the 400th episode of Podzilla 1985. And God, we couldn't be happier.
Do your plugs.
I was going to, actually.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
say, don't forget.
So with the 400th show, we're making a big push for a couple different things. We want to have more interaction with the fans. We want to actually care about our Facebook because for the longest time, we did this show thinking, well, this is for us and whoever, our friends and whoever wants to listen to it. And we ignored the fact that we actually are global. People listen to us from all over the country. Well, now it's become apparent after 2 years of not just sustaining the success we had, but actually getting better over time. That maybe we should pour some attention into this other than like the shows. So we're going to get better about Facebook. Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Like us on there. We're going to post updates. We're interacting with you guys, all that kind of stuff. Go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. We're building up towards that YouTube channel. Ace is salivating at the thought of this show. And the Irresponsible Spend Monsters will be the flagship of the Podzilla 1985 YouTube channel. Go to redbubble.com, look for Podzilla 1985. You can buy some of our merchandise designed by Lindsay Wolfgang, who's here on the show. And I think that's it. Was there another one?
Patreon.
Patreon.
I just said Patreon. Oh.
No, you said Redbubble.
I said Patreon, but then I didn't go anywhere with it.
Okay. Yeah. You know the easiest way to give us money?
Just come into the store and just hand it to us?
No. The second easiest way to give us money?
Patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
That one. Yeah.
Which I was getting to and then I skipped. But yeah, you can go on there and donate. We have stuff that we do for people that donate. Most importantly, I get it. Rewards are important, but here's my thing. If you like this show, if you like what we're doing and you appreciate it, we would appreciate you throwing anything you can to us, to help with this YouTube channel.
And don't get us wrong. We appreciate you just listening.
Yes. We will never lock any content behind a paywall.
No.
Will not happen. I'll be dead in the ground before I do that.
Yep.
We will never sacrifice any quality because we're afraid we won't make money off of it.
Yeah.
This show is for you guys. It really is. But we appreciate the hell out of anything you can do for us.
And any donation, even if it's a one-time donation, there is a way to subscribe it to monthly.
Yes.
But even a one-time donation, you get your name on the website, under the donors page.
And you really do have our appreciation.
And for $10 a month, or for $10, you get any plug on any of the shows.
Within reason.
Within reason. There are certain things we will not do or
you
say.
You alt-writers, stay over there. right.
We know your Nazi page is really good.
The press start to join guys up in Canada. They get a shout out every Sunday. Villainous Grounds, we just do because
we did get a donation from them.
We did. But we just talk about them because of how amazing they are in general.
Yeah.
So if you're also like that, we might talk about you too.
Yeah.
If you have something wrestling related you want us to talk about or plug, local promotions,
local
stuff
podcasts.
Like that.
If you have something that you're doing, you want a rub, we are happy to help.
We can help new guys. We'll do it on,
absolutely.
If it's wrestling related, we'll do it on Wednesday. We can do it on the Tuesday show, the Thursday show. Just
absolutely.
Whatever.
And that is our plugs. Thank you guys for listening. I wish I had made a bigger deal of the 400th show because damn it, Dalton, why didn't you tell me earlier?
I thought you knew.
I did. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow for Tana Thursday. I don't have a topic, but we'll come up with one. We're going to be talking about the Switch tomorrow.
Oh, finally. I'm not here, so finally. Have fun.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night. Dalton Tech's out.
See ya.